What if I told you that it was possible to live to 100 and beyond? Well, if you look at the trend, back in 1800, which is just a little over 200 years ago, the life expectancy was only 40 years old. That means I should be dead. Well, by 1900, the life expectancy had risen to 47 years old. And again, by 1950, life expectancy had risen to 57 years old. But now, today, where we are now, we are expected to live to almost 80 years old. This is awesome. But where are we going to be in another 50 years? Are we going to all expect to live over 100? Well, only if we get our energy right. And the reason this is so important is because there are ways to increase our cellular level, our cellular function by the foods we eat, the minerals we consume, and the activities that we do. Today's guest is going to teach us how to biohack our way to more longevity. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Good Mood Show. Here's your host, Matt O'Neill.
How do we get more energy? You know, that's going to be the topic of today's conversation. And, you know, if we want to live to 100 years or more, and I would love to live to 100 years or more, but not low quality years, really vibrant, healthy, high energy, happy, good mood years, how do we do that? And is it even possible? Well, I think the answer is yes. And our guest today, Brett Harmeling, is one of the top biohackers in the world. He's the founder and CEO of Happy Life Labs, and he is one of the world's premier places for vitality and longevity. Brett, I'm so excited to have this conversation, man. I'm excited to learn how to increase my energy, how to live longer. Welcome to the Good Mood Show, man.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for the intro, and I'm glad to be here. Rule number one about energy is that energy creates energy. So thanks for bringing a level of vitality right away in the conversation so that we can kind of open new doorways and dimensions to think about new ways to create energy.
Well, I love that. I love that idea. Energy creates energy. What do you mean by that?
So the word energy is just, you know, an object in motion, right? It's actually a verb. It's not a noun. And so when we put something into motion, then we experience energy. And so the word emotion, for instance, is energy in motion. And so, and our emotions determine the quality of our life. And if we're going to live a long, good life, like we need to manage which emotions that we're living in on the most on an average basis. And so 100% of everything comes, like physical, comes from Mother Earth, right? And so there's no denying that. And so in the world that we live in today, it's really important that we plug back into Mother Earth and Mother Nature. And you may be thinking I'm coming on to talk about all these technologies and tools and all this really sexy biohacking stuff, but the real truth is just we need to spend more time outside moving our bodies and doing things that excite us and make us want to stay alive.
Yeah, man, you just said so many things right there and I want to unpack it. And yeah. I agree with you. Earth is this closed cycle.
Yes.
So we've come from the Earth. We'll go back to the Earth. Everything we consume came from the Earth. We're in this like kind of closed organism here in Earth. And I also, one of my favorite quotes is by Bruce Lee. The more energy I expend, the more energy I have. And so you're saying, hey, one of the ways to get more energy is to move our body and to put ourselves in motion. I totally agree with that. I know when I met you a couple of years ago at a GoBundance conference, you were on stage talking about grounding, about putting our feet into the earth, you know, in saying that, hey, our body is like a big battery and we can recharge or reset the battery by plugging into our source, which is the earth. How do you feel about grounding today?
I still think it's the most fundamental thing. You know, there's an ionic exchange that happens. So anything that's, you know, in like on the earth at the surface level is negative and anything above it is positive. And so that polarity is actually a charge. And if we become demagnetized from the Earth's Schumann resonance, which is a fancy word for frequency, the Earth's heartbeat, more in layman's term, is like 7.83 hertz. If we become dysregulated from that Earth's heartbeat, we lose a sense of consciousness and connection. And just like a flower, a piece of grass, a tree, I believe that we can only grow from where we're grounded. And so if we're not grounded, all sorts of natural biological systems that we are designed to have don't go right. And when those things don't go right, well, then inflammation occurs, aging happens, and things like cancer and diseases and infections manifest inside of us. And that's where we end up with complicated medical issues.
Yeah, and being a good mood show, I'm sure being grounded puts us in a better mood. And being disconnected from the earth probably puts us a little bit out of whack. I mean, have you noticed that about yourself?
I notice that anytime I feel stuck, the answer is to get outside. Because the science is that we're electromagnetic beings. And so we charge from the sun and we get magnetized from the earth. And so if we're not following that simple science, it's pretty hard to be happy. And the reason that I, you know, named my company Happy Life Labs, because we do solve really complicated health issues sometimes, you know, non-traditional functional medicine type stuff, is because none of these technologies and like things in life are worth it if you're not happy or if you don't have this sense of passion to do whatever it is you're doing. But when you have it, you like nothing will stop you in the path. And so that's a fundamental teaching. You know, if you know the why, then the how is easy. It may not be simple, but it's easy because you'll figure out how to achieve your goals.
Yeah. When the why is powerful enough, you'll find the how.
That's right.
Right. And so I've got this huge why to help people feel good. Mm-hmm. And one of the hows is to bring Brett onto the Good Mood Show and teach us all about the things we can do to increase our energy. I mean, I was sick. So we went to the GoBundance conference in Vermont. We were just, Brett and I were just hanging out. And on the way, I don't usually get sick. I haven't been sick in a long time. But on the way home, you know, Sunday, we were flying home on Friday. On Sunday, I started to feel really bad. And then my energy just plummeted all last week. And man, it's hard to be in a good mood when you're just tired and exhausted and you still have things to do. So what are some of the ways that you teach that are going to keep us healthy? We talked about getting outside, getting sunshine, grounding. What are some of the other things that you recommend?
Yeah. So I never guess with my clients and people that I help, right? I always test. So fundamental. And the reason that's kind of the reason that the world is shifting in this perspective is because in today's world, it's pretty easy and inexpensive to actually get tests done. And so you can actually understand what's going on with your body. I would never be like, Matt, you need this. You know, it's not a guessing game. It's a testing game. And then from the tests, we understand how the body's supposed to work. And so then from there, we're able to supplement what your body's missing, what you need more of. But really what it all comes down to is minerals, right? If we're lacking minerals and clean, good, charged, structured water, those are the two fundamental building blocks of anything positive happening in the body. And when I say charge, what I mean is we have an energetic charge just like the earth, and it's a frequency. And we're light beings and we absorb energy, whether it's good or bad. We just absorb it and it sends a response to our cells, and our cells either happy, sad, or dead, right? And so we want to charge all our cells up to be happy, which is why you see this whole new red light therapy kind of revolution coming into play. You know, some like myself have been doing red light therapy since 2012 because of a brain injury that I'm, you know, been healing my whole pretty, you know, for most of my life. And so that's a perfect example of using a tool or a technology to optimize the environment that you put your biology in. And so we live in such a hyper-connected world, Matt, that in today's world, it's actually our mission to disconnect and to down-regulate and to get back to center so that we can grow from where we're grounded. And so the first, like I said, fundamentals are minerals and definitely good water that's charged, structured, not dead, and full, rich with minerals.
Let's talk about some of these minerals. So for a lay person like me, where do we find these minerals? What are we looking for? Do we get them from our food? Do we get them from supplements?
Yeah, so hopefully you can get them from all your food, but unfortunately in America specifically, we have a pretty big problem starting with the level of the soil, right? And so back in the day, like even our parents' generation didn't really have this issue because there was, you know, enough food supply to not have to take shortcuts to growing more food. And so in today's world, since it is a business as well, we've taken those shortcuts. And as a result, we're missing fundamental minerals in the body, such as like magnesium, potassium, sulfur. And these are building blocks for anything positive in our body, because they actually help our body hold a charge. When I keep saying charge, I mean like our body has alkalinity, right? Like a pH level. And so if your body's in a positively balanced pH, it's almost impossible for like things like cancer and things like that to even exist in a pH rich environment. And so if we're eating foods and supplementing properly and we have our pH balanced in a good spot, it's challenging for bad things to happen with your body, because you're living with that sense of vitality.
I took a Tony Robbins living health course. You know,
nice.
it was back in the day when, you know, you put CDs in your CD player in your car, and I had a CD case with all my self-help things in it. And he talked about this pH a lot. And he was saying the same thing, is that if your body is skewed to the alkaline, it's going to be really hard to develop cancer. And if your body is skewed more to the acidic, you're kind of ripe for developing some diseases. And he had a simple rule of thumb I started to implement. And he's like, hey, 70% of the earth is water, and 70% of your body is water. And so I recommend that 70% of your plate be some type of water-soluble food, something from the earth that hasn't been tampered with, it isn't processed. And so this, to Tony, is fruits and vegetables. How do you feel about that advice?
The best advice, my wife is a dietitian, by the way, and so she plays a fundamental role in Happy Life Labs and making sure that people that want it, you know, optimize their performance, you know, all the way from, we take clients that are all the way from like healing, like just we're at in war, blown up, they're suffering from PTSD to barely alive, to athletes that are at the top of their game, you know, winning Super Bowls, winning Formula One championships, things like that. And the key thing about energy and pH and all this, Matt, and eating, is it's like, if you think it's complicated, it's actually all really simple. We as humans overcomplicate everything, which is why Google is actually successful, because they make complex things simple to understand, okay? And so pH, all you need to know about pH is it's just responsible for the amount of oxygen that gets delivered to the tissues. Tissues being what our body is made of, right? And so if I tell you the next thing, which is oxygen equals energy, then you need to know that if oxygen equals energy and I'm not getting the right amount of oxygen in my tissues and my tissues aren't healthy, then I'm going to develop diseases, right? Or cancer, whatever, name the thing, something's going to happen, right, to your body, because we're designed to live in a positive pH. This also has to do with, you know, creating the right, like the correct protein structure and activating the right enzyme, pepsin, which is like responsible for delivering nutrients into your body and energy production. That all seems advanced, but what I tell everyone is the easiest diet in the world is eat real food. And it's easy, but it's not simple, because you go in we go for convenience and ease of eating foods that are readily available, versus like if I travel, I even will be the weirdo that calls the hotel. I'm like, hey, I'm coming to this conference. I have a lot of allergies. I lie. I don't have any allergies. And then they are forced to give me the menu. And then from there, I know what I need to bring and supplement. And it's getting that serious, because I'm that serious about what I'm putting into my temple. Like nothing, like, and I'm not saying that I never eat like queso or like a fried food or anything like that. I'm saying
queso is so good.
Oh, it's so good. It's worth it.
That's the one cheat, man. That one's worth it. Queso. Yeah, so exactly. Let's talk about this real food. So real food would be fruits, vegetables. Are we talking about also meat that is grass-fed or non-antibiotic? Are we talking about whole grains? What are these real foods that are going to give us optimal performance?
Yep, definitely grass-fed. And so I want to unpack that for a bit, because it's a big myth in America definitely America, but kind of global now, is that, you know, the number one cause of aging from a cellular level is called linoleic acid. Linoleic acid causes extraordinary amount of stress on the cells. The number one place that linoleic acid is actually found is in chicken. And we eat a lot of chicken in America because, you know, it's a white meat, it's clean, it's good. And the reason that you may be, you know, like really dumbfounded by like me saying that chicken is not the best thing is because think about the process. So the chickens, whether they're in a cage or in a pasture or not, get fed highly processed grains. They build their muscles from those grains. They have eggs, you know, because they're getting fed with grains. And then we're eating that. And so we're eating a byproduct of highly, like basically fake seeds and grains that they're being fed. And we're putting that in our systems. And then we're asking our body to break that down and make energy from it. And so you can see the disconnection of the chain from the earth to actually our body absorbing that. And we're humans, so we adapt and we're very resilient and very strong, but we're also very delicate. And so over time, the half-life of linoleic acid, like if you eat a French fry, it could take, you know, if you're not doing saunas and detoxing and things like that, the half-life, meaning how long it'll live in your gut, is 2.5 years.
Mm.
So highly processed, saturated fats like linoleic acid are things that we need to avoid at all costs. So the eat real food diet is just think about if you're like a Native American, you close your eyes, you're back in the day, you're like, what am I going to eat? Well, you're going to eat whatever's available. And so either get good at hunting and harvesting, or you eat food that like you have to survive on. And everyone would love like a good, you know, bison or deer or like, you know, cow, but they're eating from the land. They're eating the bugs. They're gnawing on branches and bark, and they're creatures. And like Joe Rogan says, you know, he's like, you know, I don't really eat. He doesn't even really eat a whole lot of cows. He eats more elk. Cause he's like, think about how you want your energy to be. Like elk are badass animals compared to like a cow, which is kind of like a, you know, we've made cows in America to be like pets, you know?
Yeah, they are, right?
And so you got to think about what you're consuming, but I just say eat real food. And it's actually really hard when you think about it. Like how many people touched it from the earth to your mouth?
Mm.
Is it in a box? Is it in a bag? Like it's fine if it is, which is why in today's world, it's actually most of the time better to find the best products in the freezer because they can take things that they harvest and freeze them. The things that you find organic in the store, typically they harvest and then they spray it after they harvest the organic to preserve it. And then what are you doing? You're eating that preservative. It's just a crazy thing. They don't teach us these things. And so at all costs, no matter if it's organic or not, you want to rinse your food. And I'm not coming on here to be dark. I'm just coming on this, you know.
Hey, we're learning about how to increase our energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't remember who said it, but it's let food be thy medicine. And so we need to put things in our body that are going to nourish us and help us feel better. You know, let's talk a little bit about reversing the aging process. So obviously we need to start eating real food. You know, you talked about protein. You know, I'm drinking whey protein. What are your thoughts on a whey protein, or how are you getting protein?
Yeah, so that's one of those convenience things, right? So using bars and protein drinks can help supplement and get the amount of protein in your body. So they say like if you're like 175 pounds, then you need 175 grams of protein per day, like for optimal, right? And then if you really calculate that out, that's kind of hard. It's hard to hit that, right? And we're talking if you want like to be ultra lean and things like that. And so there's everyone, like, just like I said at the beginning of the call, there's no one size fits all. There's no game plan for the masses. It's what I tell people. So you do the test, you understand what you need, and then trust what you feel, not what you hear. So if someone's telling you to do something and you try it and you're like, I don't really know if I've like felt anything, then chances are it may not be like what you needed. And so I always say like, even like an expert like myself, I always like trust what I'm saying, like, because I've done my research and studied it, but please, for the love of God, so that everyone can get better and just like verify, like do your own research, like test and try and like be relentlessly curious and passionate about like why scientists and doctors are saying, like David Sinclair is saying, like aging is a disease. And I don't believe we have to age. And so if we can cure this disease, then we don't have to age, you know? So it's like a pretty extraordinary concept to wrap your head around.
That is, you know, because everyone we've ever known in our lives has aged. And so we just are taking it as a reality. But as I started the show out with, you know, 200 years ago, life expectancy was half of what it is today. You know, that's a quite a bit of advancement in just 200 years time. So let's talk about your routine. So what do you do to optimize your energy? What do you do when you wake up? What are the steps that you do? What are pretty regular things you do for your own energy?
Yep. So at the top of any list is sleep, right? If we're not sleeping, we're definitely dying at a faster pace. Our cells, despite the American culture and drive to do everything, it is so critical to get good quality sleep. And so the fundamentals of sleep are just managing the elements. And so that's, you know, having no lights in the room at all whatsoever, managing the sound, the temperature, and then timing. And so, you know, not eating several hours before you go to sleep so that the blood is not in your stomach, your blood is in your brain, healing and rejuvenating that muscle. Cause you know, your brain is a muscle. And so people forget that. It takes a lot of energy to bring it back to the state that it needs to be in so that the next day it can do its job again. So the first thing is sleep. And then the second thing is movement. And so always actively moving and stretching my body. I typically only sit down, and I'm probably going to stop sitting down for podcasts, but I sit down for podcasts. But then as soon as I get off this call, I have a walking treadmill at my desk and I'll just walk while I work. And so 10,000 is like the absolute minimum amount of steps that any human should have. And you might be like, that sounds like a lot. If that sounds like a lot, then I guarantee you need to have a hard conversation with yourself about movement. Because asking your body to move is like, you know, our bodies were designed to move. And when we stop moving, that's when we start aging. We are not designed to sit down really at all. Sitting is a comfort, and comfort is like the fastest way to accelerate aging.
Okay. So we've got sleep and we got movement. So when you wake up, are you stretching? Are you doing yoga? Are you lifting weights? What's your routine like?
Yeah, typically I get into my day through some simple stretching, yoga, and then mindfulness exercises. So, you know, Tony Robbins does have a 10-minute priming exercise, which is a great way to like snap into it. And then what I've done over time is just evolved to make it my own. So doing things that work for me, I've incorporated God, you know, being Catholic, like having God on my team and like at the center of my life has really taken me into spaces and places that I never could have navigated alone. And so that's really important for me personally.
Yeah, me too.
And then spending time connecting with my wife and my own family, because I know that between God and my family, like if I don't have those things in a good place, like the rest of my day just isn't as meaningful or impactful
what's the point?
Yeah, like what, like exactly. I'm like, what?
My morning routine is very similar. I start with some stretching and I move to a cup of water with some lemon and some salt in it because I'm trying to rehydrate. And I know you've got some tips that you do for rehydration. And then I pray. And from prayer, I then move to a journal, so that I can download things that are on my mind and start to consciously choose how I want my day to go or what I want my mind to focus on. What are some of your other steps that are like must do every day for you?
Yeah, so that's the good place to start. And a lot of this may seem like overwhelming, but that's the importance to understand, like, if you want to go somewhere you've never gone, you have to start doing things you've never done. And so you have to be really conscious about what your habits are, because your habits actually end up creating who you are. And so, yeah, same. I journal. I use the 5-minute journal. There's a series of journals and prompts and questions that really get me activated. I typically use the one on my phone, because then when I'm traveling, I still have a list of things that I'm grateful for. You know, gratitude is a practice. And so when you navigate through difficult situations, if you're somehow finding gratitude in those situations and like, that like you're responding to them instead of reacting to them, like beautiful lessons and wisdom come. But if you're not, then I find myself getting like pulled down the sadness and sorrow and victim rabbit hole pretty quick.
Of course, and man. So, yeah. I this past year, I read the book, The Gap and the Gain.
Yeah.
And by Dr. Great Benjamin book. Hardy. And And it really, he said, if you can regularly find the gain in every experience, every single experience, that no matter how painful that experience was, if you can see that you grew and you became a greater version of yourself for having experienced it, you've turned every single life experience into a gain. And that's been a big eye opener for me as you talk about how can I have gratitude and not get pulled down into sorrow and despair. And it's just an intentional reflection on your own life to say, yeah, you know, that was kind of crappy to go through, but I did learn a lot. I did grow. There were aspects of my personality that were allowed to shine that wouldn't have been able to had I not experienced it.
That's right. Yeah. So the gratitude thing's a big one. The journaling thing's a big one. People are like, oh, I'm good. I don't need to do it. I'm like, you don't have to do a lot of things. Like one of my yoga teachers in my 500-hour yoga master's certification taught us, she goes, you don't have to practice, right? Like you don't have to do yoga. You don't have to practice meditation or breath work or any of these limbs of yoga. But she goes, when life calls upon your practice, you'd better hope that you practice.
Yeah.
It's like, that is why. And I have that anchored in my mind, right? And so gratitude. And then also I'm like,
yeah, you don't have to practice gratitude.
There's like the dark and the light. And I always have, you know, because of my life circumstances and things that have been, the cards have been dealt, I was navigating. So I have the light side, which is gratitude. And then I have the dark side, which I've added light to. And, you know, I live by a mantra called memento mori, which means in Latin, it means remember you will die. And I live in that mindset and that headspace because oftentimes in life, we just take shortcuts. We play small. We live in this little bubble and we're so close to our problems in our life that we can't see the big picture. But if you know that you're going to die someday and like you're already just metaphorically naked and you're just ready to go, then like there's nothing, there's no resistance. It just, any problems just kind of hit your shield and go off. And so I live in that mantra because I find it to be a powerful place to live. Like there's no problem or issue that could bring me down. And especially if I'm aligned and connected to my God, then like there's nothing that he will put me through that I can't handle. And if there is, then I'll make my exit, right? It's just like, then it's my time, right? It's my time.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still something you can handle.
Yeah.
Even when you're making your exit, it's still something you can handle. And man, memento mori is one of my favorite concepts too. It makes me very bold.
Yes.
Because I'm like, all right, I'm going to die anyway.
Correct.
Why not go for it? And I know you've been extremely bold in your life. You're working with some of the top athletes in the world, like people going for gold medals, people going for world championships I know you're coaching people in the octagon that and you don't get to that level without just having an audacious boldness about you. I know you've created jet companies where you're like literally going up against net jets. You know, how have you found this like ability to just get over your fears and just take huge swings of the bat?
That's a very good question. I think it comes down to what we're talking about. It's that I believe in myself and I know that if not me, then who else is going to do it? And if I want to see a different world in the way that we live and travel and transport ourselves to have rich life, cultural experiences, then like, why am I waiting for someone else to solve that problem? You know, we're not stopping until we solve suborbital point-to-point transportation where you can be anywhere in the world in two hours or less. You know, you go up, you use gravity and the Earth's circumference, and you come down. Like, it's fast. And so we're working on these projects, and so we're just getting started. And it's fun because, you know, like, even tonight I have an event at the Johnson Space Center with SpaceX, NASA. Like, people that, like, and astronauts and people, like, where most people would just pay to be in these rooms. And because I've put myself out there, I get invited to these circles. And because of being in these circles, I definitely look around. I'm like, I may not be as smart as everyone, but I have something to offer here that nobody else has.
You are going to get me to Australia in 2 hours.
Correct.
I cannot wait, man. That is freaking
Awesome, man. This is some, super cool space stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And you have a tremendous amount to offer. So one of the things we started talking about before we got on the show, you said that you believe everything is frequency. And I do too. You know, one of my favorite thought experiments is about how nothing is real and nothing is solid, that the atom is made of 0.00001% of actual matter. And I remember that somebody had said, if you took all the actual matter of all the atoms on Earth, they would fit in a teaspoon. Everything is just this vast, empty space vibrating at super fast levels. And, you know, how does that idea of frequency really impact your view of how we can increase our energy or what we need to be doing with our lives?
Yeah, so Maslow's hierarchy of like frequency does speak pretty intelligently into like which energetic state you're living in, which at the top is like enlightenment or spiritual contribution. And so it's cool to see scales like that out there in the public, because you can kind of see like, okay, I'm actually way down here. I'm living in scarcity, and you will never go to the next level until you upgrade your frequency. When I was building my financial advising practice back in 2015, instead of talking about money and gains and things like that, I taught people that money was just a simple acronym for my own natural energy yield. And that if you wanted more abundance in your life, that you need to just need to create the frequency of abundance and live in that frequency more. Now, I'm not saying be a fake or a fraud or someone that you're not. I'm saying like truly believe that if I was like, Matt, I'm going to give you $1 million. And when I said that, like, you knew exactly what you're going to do with that money and why. And the reason that's important is because if you're not aligned with, you know, the frequency of abundance, how are you even supposed to expect it coming into your life? Same thing goes with love, right? If Brett doesn't love Brett, then how do I expect Matt or someone that I don't even know to love me? Like, you're begging and guessing and hoping for an outcome versus like almost guaranteeing an outcome. And so, you know, people are like, well, what do you like, dumb it down a little bit. I'm like, okay, what's right for you will not lower your vibration. Let me say it again. What is right for you, when you know something's right for you, you will not have a gut reaction. You will feel good about it. It'll be exciting. It will light you up. And that is a frequency. And so when you live in that frequency all the time, it's really exciting, because you'll start to understand what you say no to is way more important than what you say yes to.
Man, let's talk about some of the biohacking tricks and tips that you have. I know that you had given me a couple of supplements that were focused on creating positive charge and good ions in my body. Can you talk a little bit about some of the products you would recommend?
Yeah. So just so for those that are listening, Happy Life Labs was really designed to take a very complex and saturated world of biohacking products. The word biohacking is just simply using, it's life hacking, right? And so it's using your biology for you instead of against you. So for instance, if you're a drinker and you want to go out and drink and socialize all the time, there are certain things that you can do to minimize the effects of drinking, right? If you're a performance athlete and you need to take it to the next level, there are ways to optimize your cellular performance that don't involve working out. And so we work from the cellular level, introducing science, and like it's the culmination of science and technology to get the best possible result from what you have, which is yourself. And so we've established this collective back in 2012 is kind of when we got started. And now we've really kind of prided ourselves in being the premier collective. And I keep using the word collective because we collaborate and kind of highlight and illuminate the world's best biohacking products, people, and places. And so if you're looking for a place to get started or interested in like what tools or supplements do I start with, we're kind of the place where people come to kind of like cross-check their resources and their data and then see what we have to share and offer. Because we have about 30 partners in our collective right now, and we're very serious about who those companies are, you know, the quality of their products, the people behind the products, their customer care. Are they made in America? Are they ethically sourced company, meaning like not destroying the planet just to make whatever it is they're doing? So there's a lot of conscious variables that go into us actually co-creating with our partners.
Awesome. So anyone who's interested in learning more about how to optimize their health should just go to Happy Life Labs.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually, we broke our website, which is a good thing. And so I do have a link that I'll share with you, Matt, where people can get access to a private page we have. Also, we offer the best price on all these products. So it is a kind of a private community that we've established because, you know, we want to make sure that people are getting access to the best deals on these products.
Awesome. I'll make sure I put that link in the show notes to this show. Brett, this has been an absolute pleasure spending time with you. My vibration and frequency is raised being in your presence today, my man. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and stay elevated.
All right, brother.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.